Good morning, good morning, and good morning, and thank you for being on time. And this is great. We can get started right on time. I mean, you're always prompt, but it's great to see you all. This morning, we're going to be looking into 2 Kings 19 to King Hezekiah. And I don't know what you think about King Hezekiah, but there's some interesting things said about him. And we read here where he is going to take it to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in your name. We thank you for the power of prayer. And we thank you for the prayers in the Bible that we can just learn so much about prayer just from your word. And you give us all your word. No one here in this land, basically, or certainly in this church or this room, is without a Bible. And so, Lord, we need nothing more. We don't need books on prayer. They're all right, but what we just really need is your word, and all true, nothing but the truth. So, Lord, guide us now in this time of prayer this morning. When you receive maybe a letter with about the worst news you could receive, what do you do? Where do you go? How big is your God? How big is your God? As we look at this account in 2 Kings, we see the mighty nation of Assyria bearing down on the nation of Israel. In chapter 18, we have Hezekiah becoming the king of Judah. That's the southern two tribes down by Jerusalem. 25 years old, he reigned 29 years. And notice the great things it says about this man. I've often thought of Hezekiah just as a guy who didn't like his appointed days on earth, so he wanted 15 more years. He had this wicked son Manasseh, the wickedest king that Israel ever had. And, why did he do that? And his heart was lifted up in pride, we see in Chronicles, after he was healed. And he showed the Babylonians all the treasures. The guy isn't that great a guy, is he? Well, verse 3, it says, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. Wow, that's heavy duty, isn't it? So he has quite a track record. Now, in his fourth year, Shalmaneser put a siege on Samaria, and 3 years later, Samaria fell. So at the time of this writing now, Samaria has fallen. Assyria has continued its invasion now into the southern kingdom, and all but Jerusalem, well, it says all the fortified cities were taken. We know that he was fighting in Lachish at this time, and he sent part of his army, and at least Rabshakeh, one of the heads of his army, over to Jerusalem to tell them, first he threatened them, and Hezekiah sent all the silver and all the gold off the temple and out of the treasuries that he had. And well, that didn't slow them down. That just increased their appetite, really. Trying to appease the enemy through gifts is not always work. And so Rabshakeh comes, and he starts speaking in Hebrew very loudly, blaspheming the God of Israel, and even wrongly accusing Hezekiah of destroying God on the high places. Well, Hezekiah did, but it wasn't the God of Israel. It was destroying the high places. It was a false god. So then he leaves because Israel didn't really respond and surrender. And he goes back, and now God is starting to move, it would seem. At this point, by the way, he comes to Isaiah and asks Isaiah for help, Hezekiah does. And Isaiah prays and comes back with good news that the Lord is going to protect. So Rabshakeh leaves and goes back to Lachish, but by then the army has moved to Libnah because an uprising was going on there. And then word came that this Tahrirkah of Ethiopia was going to come and fight Assyria. So things are not going real well right now for Assyria. Now they've got a new king, Sennacherib, however you want to pronounce it. And so he sends Rabshakeh again, I think with a kind of an urgency, with a large army, because he doesn't have troops to spare, and he would like to get Jerusalem conquered right away. So now here comes Rabshakeh with the second letter, really. And that's where we get into the prayer today. Now, one of the things in this letter charges that don't trust in your God, because you know what the king of Assyria has done to all the gods around here. He's crushed them. He's burned them. But notice how the world looks at small gods. The world looks at how your nation is affected or how the next nation is affected or whatever. But notice what Hezekiah does. Now, this time, he read it, he spread it, and he prayed. And so first, we read he in verse 14 of 2 Kings 19, Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. Okay, now you open your mail up and you read this bad letter you get. What do? Well, he then spread it before the Lord, laid it out before the Lord. Beautiful. Then, verse 15, he prayed before the Lord. He prayed before the Lord. In this account, he refers to God as, O Yahweh, or Jehovah Elohim of Israel. In the Isaiah account, which is almost word for this prayer, in the Isaiah account, they put in Lord God of hosts which means the God of the armies, which is kind of interesting, Lord God Sabaoth, because what is and who is Jehovah and what can he do? He can do whatever you need, right? So it would seem like that prayer, we've got a battle on our hands, so I should pray to the God of the armies. In this account, it doesn't have those terms in there in any of the translations. So, but at any rate, it's a great address. Jehovah Elohim, the God of Israel. That's who we want to pray to always, isn't it? And his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in that name and in the power of the Holy Spirit. But, O Lord God of Israel, now he doesn't talk about the God just in our little border here, because he goes on, he says what? You are God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, you made heaven and earth. Now notice the size of that God. The God who's created all things makes a little God of the next nation, the false God of the next nation, seem like absolutely nothing, right? So Hezekiah is not about to be taken in by Rabshakeh's threat. Well, you can't stand against the king of Israel, king of Assyria, and your God has no power, because look what the king of Assyria does to every god. He chews them up and burns them. You know, it's kind of hard to burn the creator of the universe, right? With your little match, what are you going to do? I mean, but here he says, who made heaven and earth. Now, incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Now, that's absolutely a quote, almost verbatim, from Solomon's dedicatory prayer of the temple a little earlier. And we see that used over and over again. And I think it's a good prayer for us. Incline your ear, O Lord, to hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And now he brings the prayer of Sennacherib in there. He says, hear the words of Sennacherib. Actually, it's not a prayer, but the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Now, anytime you can get into prayer, things of the Bible, into prayer, that if this goes along, your name is going to be reproached, that's a powerful prayer request, isn't it? You're not praying for your benefit here. You're praying for the glory of the Lord. You're praying against those who would reproach the name of Almighty God. And how we see that in the world today, we've always seen it, we always will. It'll get worse, won't it? It'll get much worse, I believe, than it is now. And when we look around now, it's so bad you can hardly say, Lord, how much longer, you know? But that's up to the Lord. But here, he says, hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent, what? To reproach the living God. We're not talking about gods of wood that you can burn up, or gods of stone that you can break the heads off. We're talking about the living God. And he says what? Truly, Lord, you know, that's right, that the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations in their lands. That's right. And they've cast their gods into fire. Why not? I mean, burn them. They're nothing, right? But he says, for what? They were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Kind of like Laban when he accused Jacob of stealing his gods, you know, often thinking about how sad is that if you've got a god that can be stolen, or in this case, if you've got a god that can be burned, or if you have a god made by man's hands of wood and stone. So he said, "Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I pray." This is really the prayer now. "Save us from his hand, the king of Assyria." Why? So we can keep our families? So we can keep our cozy house and all this? No. He says that what? "All the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone." What a powerful, powerful prayer. And any time that you can include in your prayers praying the promises of God, exalting his name and giving him all glory, those are powerful prayers. And so this is just a great prayer for us to look at. And this is not just a casual prayer in times of, oh, good day, I don't have anything else to do, I think I'll pray today. No, the nation's safety is paramount here. Israel is about to be destroyed, Judah is about to be destroyed, Jerusalem is about to be destroyed by Assyria. And this is a heavy-duty time, a very fearful time it would be in our thoughts. And we know now that, going ahead a little bit more, he prayed directly to the Lord here. He didn't even intercede through Isaiah this time, but he's coming in torn clothes and sackcloth and so forth, and he's praying with all sincerity, and God answers him and says, what? "Not even an arrow will come into the city of Jerusalem, but by another spirit I will cause the king of Assyria to leave your land." And, of course, what happened, you know, the angel of the Lord, apparently one angel of the Lord, killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers as they were stationed around Jerusalem in one night. And that's heavy duty. In the morning, in verse 35, there were the corpses all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home and remained at home at Nineveh. Came to pass as he was worshiping in the temple of Nisroch, his god, that his sons, Adramelech and Sherezer, struck him down with the sword, and they escaped in the land of Arad. Thus Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place. So, a great prayer, a prayer that was answered, and it gives us that great example of what we do in times of great need, and not just praying in times of great need, but when there is great need, when there's great fear, go first to the Lord, first to the Lord, first to the Lord. And notice the contrast today among the world leaders and even among the leaders of the United States. They don't even go to the Lord at all, do they? They look to their rockets and their armies and all of this and we're going to have peace and all of this stuff. But so far from where King Hezekiah was at this point with regard to the safety and security of the nation, of which the king or the president or whatever you want, government, is supposed to have paramount to uphold. We have a biblical constitution in this country, and how often now we're trying to get around it, right? We're trying to rewrite it, and we're trying to do what we want to get done, you know. Father, we thank you for this prayer, and we thank you for your word, and wherever we are in it, it shows us so much. And here we are this morning, Lord, gathered around in this little circle and knowing that you're in our midst and knowing that you will prompt us through your Spirit to pray, and whether it's praise and adoration or whether it's supplication and intercession, Lord, may we respond as you lead us in these moments of prayer, Lord. We know they will be effective because of your great faithfulness. And we are actually being obedient, I believe, by gathering here this morning. As you say, come boldly to the throne of grace with a true heart and full assurance of faith. May we pray with expectancy as we come to the throne of grace to ask for help in time of need. So guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen.